This is Vernon Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Good morning and welcome to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. Also streaming live on HoosierLandTV.com. Each weekday, Party Line brings you conversations with local leaders, community organizations, business owners, elected officials, event organizers, and the people making a difference across Clinton, Boone, Carroll, and surrounding counties. We also want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open throughout the program at 765-659-3338. Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 is made possible by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And your free local news source, Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com. The Party Line online telecast on HoosierLandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, The Farmers Bank, Shoup's Country Foods, Culligan, Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arbor Wood by Shoup's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Jerry's Body Shop, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, Avery Home Store, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi. Whether you're listening on WILO, Boone's Best 102.7, watching on Hoosierland TV, or joining us online, we invite you to be part of the show. Call us at 765-659-3338. This is Party Line.
The good news is it's a Friday edition of Party Line. How about that? Woohoo! Let's hear it for the weekend, everybody. And it should be a beautiful weekend. I saw just a slight chance, ever so slight chance of maybe some pop-up showers this evening. But otherwise, I saw it this morning. Don't give me that look.
It's not on, National Weather Service is not calling for it. So.
Thank goodness. Maybe that weather person was wrong.
Not until Sunday evening, chance of pop-ups overnight.
Sweet.
So that's
Should
what
be a
they're
great
saying.
Great hot dog festival. Looking forward to that. All right. Do we have any road closures that we need to know about?
Yeah, we got one, and then we're going to go straight into our guests. We're not even going to talk weather because it's going to be pretty. It's going to be good weather. The only thing going on right now, eastbound lane on State Road 28 by County Road 800 West is closed right now due to an accident. Stay out of the way. Get out of, don't even go eastbound 28 if you can make it around through the back roads, please do, and leave that open so they can get their work done and get it cleaned up and make sure emergency personnel stay safe as well.
Also, speaking of roads, because of the festival that's happening downtown Frankfort, there are some road closures. So if you are a semi driver, you might want to go around town and not plan on going straight through town. Otherwise, you'll get caught through some back streets. Yeah. They're looking for some extra signage today. But just keep that in mind because I saw some drivers heading to the bean plant this morning. And I'm
stay on. Just take 28.
Yeah.
Take 28. You can get there. For the most part, you can get there to the bean plant I think you might be able to take 39 around. I'm not sure where the bridge closure is at if you're coming from that direction. Just stay out of the downtown area because you're not going to make any turns down there.
You're not going to make any big turns down there today, but that's all right. It's going to be a great weekend for a festival. In the meantime, we do have a guest in studio. Clinton County Sheriff Brendan Bright is with us. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you.
Doing well. So the weather's been great for us all lately. How about this, right?
Right. Hard to believe. And had decent weather at the fair last week, so except for the very end, but we'll take that. It was good overall.
Yeah, I heard lots of great things from the Fair Council with the help of you and the inmates. That continues to be a great program for those folks at the fair. I mean, and I think they were helping even with the Hot Dog Festival this week. Isn't that right?
That is correct, yeah.
That is so helpful.
Yeah, they go out there beforehand and help set up the week before. And then during the fair every morning, then they go out and tidy things up, mainly with the trash and get things cleaned up.
So. Yeah, they were doing lots of little things out there. Very polite, just good morning, hello. And we really appreciate that. It's a great partnership.
Yeah. I went out there a couple times in the week during the fair just to see how things were going and to say hi and to thank them myself, you know. But they get fed lunch out there, and then they like being out and doing that and giving back to the community.
Sure. It was plenty warm for that, that's for sure.
Yes.
So, and I also saw you doing a little volunteer work. Were you giving out or divvying the ice cream at the Lions Club ice cream trailer?
Yes, of course. I think we worked 3 shifts out there this time. So I always enjoy doing that.
Done that
for over 10 years. And we'll be at the Hot Dog Fest again. I think I'm serving tonight there too. So.
Well, were there any big issues out at the fair this year? I mean, I thought the fair went incredibly smoothly this year. I thought the fair did very well this year, the Fair Council and everybody that had things out there. So from your perspective, how did things go?
I think things went very well. We had no major incidents out there other than the rain. That Friday night flooded pretty good, kind of rained it out a little bit on Saturday, but they did get a little bit of stuff in on Saturday, not the truck and tractor pull, but... But overall, it was a very good time. I enjoyed my time out there meeting people. A lot of people came up and said hi and introduced themselves, and it was a great time. I enjoyed being out there all week, every night.
Clinton County Sheriff Brendan Bright is our guest on Party Line today.
Well, let's just talk about that new title. I mean, you've gone from deputy to investigator with the prosecutor's office, and now you're the Clinton County Sheriff, which I know has been a goal of yours throughout the years. But... let's start with the very beginning. What actually got you into law enforcement?
I mean, generally, it was what most police officers, most first responders will say, and it's just to give back to the community and try to make a difference and try to make lives better for other people, you know, just that servant heart. And so I was no different. You know, I just wanted to go out and make the world a better place and go from there.
So now as you begin this new role, What's some of the goals that you have that you'd like to see? Now that it's official, I mean, do you have to go through the rigmarole of November?
Yes, I'm still on the ballot for November,
okay.
Running unopposed right now. So currently just finishing out the term, being caucused in, and then my official term would start January 1st of 27. So my goals are just, you know, to... work closely with the community and all the community partners and build those relationships and work on that. I mean, it's a team effort. It's by no means one person, one agency. And I come in there not wanting to take credit for everything, just trying to facilitate everything and put people in the right places, you know, to do the right things and work with everybody together.
What do you think some of the biggest challenges are going to be for you and for your department?
One of the big challenges is just, you know, recruitment. You know, trying to get new officers in. We're in the process of hiring one, and I've known that from the last several years. It was difficult, you know, 10 years ago, but things have changed, and a lot of applicants don't see that need that maybe we saw 20 years ago to come in and make a difference, just for a variety of reasons, you know, just generally speaking, maybe some bad press over the years. So just getting that recruitment in there and getting the right people and that right fit. By all means, we don't want somebody that doesn't want to do the job and they're just doing, you know, we don't want people just to hire in just because they want a job and want a paycheck. You know, you've got to have that right heart. So to try to find that right person to do that has always been a challenge, and it's no different today. So.
Well, and I'm sure you guys are also looking for somebody that's going to be there for the long haul and not use the department as a stepping stone.
Right, absolutely. And that's improved over the years in Clinton County. I mean, that's a problem with smaller agencies. It was actually when I came on in 2002 that it was a stepping stone. People would use it for a training ground. But over the years, the council's been very generous and gotten the pay up to a competitive rate to where we can actually attract, you know, even some lateral transfers, too, from other departments. That's always a lucrative thing, you know. So the training cost is a lot less with that. They have to go through our local training, but not through the actual police academy.
In general, is training the same for county as it is any other law enforcement? I mean, you talk about going through the academy. Do all departments of law enforcement have to go through the same academy training?
They do. The state police has their own academy. And some of the bigger agencies, I believe, Marion County IMPD does. But generally, everybody goes through the same academy at Plainfield and has the same state requirements and state mandates like that. And then there's training at the local level, because what they tell you at the academy is, well, a lot of answers you get down there, it depends on your, you know, your local policies, your local prosecutor, your local rules. So there's pretty extensive training then at the local level, just our field training program.
Clinton County Sheriff Brendan Bright is our guest on Party Line today, and I wanted to talk about your facility a little bit. You know, I'm sitting here looking at a brand new police station, and I remember when the when your building was built several years ago now, and I'm sure it's starting to get some wear and tear. So talk about the building. You know, is it still pretty feasible? Is it good? Just give us an update on how it's going there.
Yeah, it's over 30 years old. It was fairly new when I started back in 2002, just 5 or 6 years old, but still trying to take assessment and inventory of everything. I will say it changed a lot in the 6 years as I was gone, and at the prosecutor's office, I did notice a decline, no fault to anybody, just age. And so I can't really give a good assessment now, but yes, it's manageable, and it's just going to be one of those things to where, you know, how much do you spend to fix things versus replacing things? And we're not there yet, but obviously it's something we'll have to look at.
Yeah, and some of those things, you know, when you talk about HV and some of that stuff, it's not sexy, but those are all kinds of things that, you know, need to be done, but, you know, sure. They're not fluffy for sure. And they cost so much money, things like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and then, HVAC, and then elevator is in there. You know, We had an expense with the elevator recently. So, yeah, at some point we're going to have to sit down and try to figure out, just like, you know, everybody does when it comes to, you know, repairing versus replacing. And, you know, we'll have that conversation when we need to.
But we're not there yet, is what you're saying.
Not there yet.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Well, and unfortunately, you're kind of walking into a point of time of budget. And you're having to put together a budget without even really having a chance to sit down and look at things. So,
correct. We've got the first round of that done, but got great help there. Britt Osler is my matron, and, you know, obviously the county auditor. So she was well versed in that. So we got through that, the first round of that. But you're right. It's difficult to come in right off the bat and just, you know, have that thrown right at you. But we got through it, and we'll get through it the budget season this year just fine.
Well, talk about some of your staff. You mentioned Britt. And so talk about some of the changes that you have made or people you've brought in and, you know, what your thinking is.
So Britt Osler brought her in as the matron. She was the county auditor, elected auditor, so she resigned and came over with me. And then I appointed my chief deputy, Tobe Lesenby, from Carroll County. And he had nearly 40 years of experience up in Carroll County.
Well, he's from Clinton County, so we're glad to have him back.
He's a Clinton County native, and he'll be sure to tell you that if he ever talks to anybody. So,
yep. And a Clinton Central graduate, I just want to throw that in. A bulldog.
He's, he'll tell people it's like a homecoming for him. So,
sure. Yeah.
He was chief deputy for 8 years, sheriff for 8 years, and then currently was chief deputy when he resigned to come over. So. Glad to have him on there. And then other than that, though, the rest of the staff there, I still knew fairly well. Some I did not, but very strong staff. And that's probably been one of my biggest surprises coming in here. You know, I wasn't sure what I was walking into. And everybody has stepped up just tremendously, more than helpful. I just can't say enough. And I've told them that several times, but I just want to reiterate that I mean, you know, everybody's just willing to help. And the staff is strong, you know, from the jail officers to the administrative, to the clerks, to the maintenance crew, to the administrative assistants, to everybody. So that's been pleasant. I'm only in about in my ninth week now, but yeah, those first few weeks where you really needed that help and guidance, you know, I was afraid they would just, you know, maybe not be so helpful. And it's been tremendously enlightening to see that.
Clinton County Sheriff Brendan Bright is our guest on Party Line. And what do you see as some of the things that we need to either improve on, add, or change in your area of law enforcement? You know, we have the city that does one thing, county that does the other thing. So what are some of the things you would like to see either improved upon or changed? Maybe something we need? Talk about that a little bit.
Just community involvement, I think, you know, to get the officers out there, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, that police have gotten a bad rap, but if you, you know, I just saw on the news, I think this morning with Indianapolis, they had a couple of police officers shot, and they come on there and they say, these are fathers, these are parents, these are aunts, these are uncles, you know, these are just people, and we're just people. And to try to get people to realize that, and that's why, you know, at the fair last week, I thought was fantastic. We had, you know, people out there mingling with the crowd as they walked mm-hmm. by. And just to try to show people that, you know, we're people. We're just normal people, that we're just doing our job, mm-hmm. That we're just not bad and take people to jail and do bad things. We are there to help and are there to assist when needed.
Yeah, I think I'll just keep that thought to myself. Let's move on. I just saw this week posted that scams are kind of hitting us again.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever quit?
No. Well, I do think they're more prominent certain times of the year. I always noticed at the holidays, it seems scams are so bad. And then
certain times of the year when seniors are having to re-enroll for everything. And it's crazy. But, and we've talked a little bit about this in your position with the prosecutor's office, but what can people do to protect themselves? I mean, I know you guys are trying to get the word out there and tell people, you know, be aware of these certain scams that are going on. But what can people do to protect themselves?
I mean, generally, I tell people to hang the phone up if they call. Just, I mean, it's as simple as that. But sometimes now it's over text message and, you know, click this link, and it's over email. So it's not as easy as it was maybe 10 years ago to where you say, just don't talk to these people. And, a lot of it, I see, you know, they're genuinely concerned. You know, they get that text message, whether you've got fines that need paid, or the BMV, your license is being suspended, or generally with some of the senior community, they talk about your grandchild is, you know, needs bond money and stuff like that.
Well, so it's crazy how much information the scammers have, because a lot of times they'll know the child's name and so then you think it's real because they actually know some information, and it's really not real. It's still a scam.
That's the world we live in. Nothing is hidden. Everything, I mean, you can find out a lot about a lot of people mm-hmm. just by a little bit of search, and you know, not much know-how on how to do that. So
you talked about the one with BMV. I thought it was great when Scott Shoemaker was sitting here and he got one over his phone while we were sitting here.
He did, yes.
Yeah, it was perfect timing. But technology is changing all the time, too, and it's definitely changing for law enforcement as far as, you know, between cameras and being able to use drones. And what's mm-hmm. some of the stuff that maybe technology-wise that you would like to get? I mean, I know you already have a lot of stuff and you're still mm-hmm. getting acclimated with everything that's in the department now, but what's maybe some of the stuff that you've seen new on the horizon that maybe you see us getting down the line?
I mean, one thing, you know, there's video and there's cameras everywhere, but there's so much footage, and AI is going to be obviously a huge role in law enforcement too, to help analyze that information, because you can't, you know, one human being can't sit there and watch 100 screens to where, you know, AI or a computer can analyze that. And so I think that's where technology is going in law enforcement, just to help you work a little bit smarter, you know, to do that. And then just analyzing data, you know, like cell phones are so popular now with investigations, and there's just so much data there to analyze sometimes that, AI can do that for you. So, you know, cameras are going to be a big thing. You know, I started before we have body cameras and car cameras. So I've seen the evolution from, you know, we got our first car cameras and we thought that was cool and so helpful. And then we went to body cameras with, you know, generally speaking, pretty poor quality. And now you wouldn't go out there without a body camera. I foresee, you know, like body cameras even be now, it's just the front view, but they're becoming better angles, wider angles, and maybe even 360 degree body angle, so you can see the whole area. So you mentioned drones earlier. Drones are hugely popular. I mean, again, that's changed us in the last 5 or 6 years to the use of drones. We used to, you know, use canines a lot to find people or lost child. It can be a suspect or it could be a lost child. And now drones, you know, we have so many drone operators available to do that. And clearing houses, you can put a drone inside a house, you know, rather than sending people into a house, you know, to clear that house before, you know, you put the safety of an officer to go in there to do that. So
765-659-3338. If you have questions or comments for Clinton County Sheriff Brendan Bright, we would love to hear from you today. You know, I feel like our community does an excellent job for folks that maybe struggle with drugs a little bit. Talk about that from your standpoint. Again, we have so many, and I feel like more resources than really some towns bigger than ours. So I just feel like we're fortunate here to have what we have. But talk about it from your perspective. Are we still seeing that as kind of a major problem? Are we seeing a reduction in that? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think drugs are drug abuse and addiction is always going to be out there, unfortunately. But it's just a matter of how you handle it. And I think you're right. We have, from talking to other areas, other agencies, I mean, I think we have a tremendous local ability to help these people, you know, because generally speaking, it is a disease. You know, it's not, you know, they're not, it's not, yes, they're breaking the law, but they're not bad people per se.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think our local services that we offer, you know, we offer it within the jail, and then we hope to hand them off into the local services when they get out, just not just to just drop them and say, hey, good luck, you're on your own. We'd like to do that transfer. And that's one thing I was looking forward to and still implementing, you know, to work with local partners, you know, to do that handoff, that soft handoff, and, you know, to talk to people, you know, to give them the right resources they need, because it can be overwhelming when you're back out there, you know, on the street, you know, and with the temptation. So
it is. It's hard to believe, but we will have kids going back to school next week. So, you know, what advice do you have for everybody? I know I always think, oh, you know, you got to keep our eyes on the road. But some schools actually start earlier than others. So I think it, you know, when all the schools start in the same week, I think we think about it. But we have the crossing that starts so much earlier. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, just your usual. I mean, be wary of the kids walking to school. And you've got, obviously, the school buses, and they're going to be out and about. And be mindful of that, and, you know, don't try to beat that stop arm. You know, I tell a lot of people, it's hard to watch from the prosecutor's office. We handled a lot of the stop arm violations, and some people just, you know, they see the yellow lights come on a bus, they think it's a yellow traffic light to where you can speed up and beat it. Well, no, you slow down at that point and stop, because it's about to become red. So just your normal cautiousness, you know, be out there. There's going to be kids walking, sitting on the sidewalk waiting for a bus pick up, and then you've got the student drivers, you've got the teacher, just a lot more activity, you know, in the mornings. And we all will see that, and we'll notice that pretty quickly here in the next few weeks.
Well, I know we've talked about so many different subjects and your different roles and coming in here, but I thought before we cut you loose, because I know you got a lot to get done, and but I just want to have some fun and ask you some fun questions. So, if you don't mind, a little bit of a lightning round sort of kind of thing.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Okay. So, when you're not, I wanted to ask you, when you're not wearing the badge, what do you do to unwind?
Well, I would say I used to run. I run a lot less now than I used to with my knees, but still try to work out at the gym and just unwind at the gym and get a decent workout in.
Do you like coffee or energy drinks?
Neither.
Good answer. Yeah, you're my generation.
Are you a soda drinker or are you just a water guy?
So if you want a fun fact on that, I have not drank a soda. I used to drink Diet Coke quite a bit. I haven't drank that since 2011. I've had no soda.
Wow.
So I'm a water guy and a Gatorade guy when I do work out.
Sure. That's great.
And then I haven't had caffeine since September of 21. So I've actually been without caffeine for 5 years.
Oh, he's my hero.
So no energy drinks, no pre-workouts, so.
He's my hero. I haven't even gotten to that. I keep trying. I really do keep trying. But uh-huh. So Gatorade, what's your favorite flavor?
Grape.
Ooh.
G2 Gatorade. I buy it in the powder form and mix it myself. So I don't drink a lot of that, just usually after a workout.
You know, to get the electrolytes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Favorite part of being a deputy or sheriff now?
Again, just going back and helping people, meeting people, knowing that you can make a difference and impact their lives, hopefully in a positive way.
I know you've only been there 9 weeks, but you've been there a lot longer than that. So what's been the hardest part of being a law officer?
The hardest part of being sheriff or law enforcement?
Either one. Either one.
hardest part of being law enforcement in general is you can only do so much for people. You know, you try to do the right things, you try to guide them the right way, and then some people just won't listen. Mm-hmm. And the hardest part is sometimes you do have to make that hard choice, and, you know, whether it's to file charges or to make the arrest. So hardest part about being sheriff, honestly, you know, at this point is just kind of still waking up and realizing that, you know, I have worked so hard for so many years, and here it is. So still trying to grasp that.
What's one piece of advice that you would give someone thinking about going into law enforcement?
One, stay out of trouble. Seems like some people apply and they don't realize that some of their past might catch up with them, you know, some of them, even that minor stuff. So biggest advice I would give people is to do the right thing and, you know, stay on the straight and narrow and and don't make bad decisions.
What's something that people would be surprised to know about you?
Well, I might have just said it, is that that I don't drink any pop. I'm just a water guy, and that kind of shocks people. And I don't drink coffee, and I get by in the morning without coffee. So,
yeah, that kind of surprised me too, to be totally honest. Is there somebody out there that actually was a big that had a big impact on your career?
Well, there were several, through I was starting, whether, start as a deputy, some of the early sergeants on the road and field training officers to, then even, the sheriffs I worked under Mike Inslee for a short time, and, then Mark Mitchell, and then Mike Inslee was my chief deputy, Jeff Ward, Rick Morgan. Yes, there's several people in, that were mentors to me, none to really name, that really stood out a whole lot, but, and then just your coworkers, your supervisors, throughout, everybody had a huge role.
Well, before we let you go, what's the message you want to get out there to the people of Clinton County?
I just want to say that when you see police officers out there, be kind to them. Just realize they're doing the right thing. And I'll be an open door sheriff. If you got any questions or anything, feel free to call and say open door. You can stop by, but if I'm busy, obviously I can't see everybody all at the same time. But give me an email, give me a call, and I'd be happy to talk to you and meet you sometime and work out any problems or questions you may have.
Well, we appreciate your service to the county. I mean, you, as you said, you've been here for a long time in various capacities, and we look forward to your future. In
Thank
your
you.
New role.
I look forward to it.
Thank you very much. Clinton County Sheriff Brendan Bright joined us on Party Line today. Now we'll be back, and you're listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7.